You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am your co-host, the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me as always, the man, the myth, the man with the game plan, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, bro?
What's up? I am fired up to talk about the wrestling. We'll probably talk about this either tomorrow, but we had a really amazing match on 205 Live, and then you're like, man, that was a really good match, and then NXT topped that match. So we had some really good wrestling last night, so that even got me more pumped up to talk about the wrestling we're going to get to talk about today.
Yeah.
One of those matches I actually saw live at the SmackDown taping.
I know, I'm excited to talk about that tomorrow, along with, we're going to try to talk about a bunch of stuff tomorrow. The NXT, because I've read that NXT was badass, hadn't watched it yet, but I've read that it was badass, and then we're going to talk about Impact for the first time, and then we're going to talk about that match on 205 Live that you're speaking of, too. We're going to talk about that here. We're going to hear from you about it today, and then we're going to try to maybe talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. But real quick, I want to push a couple of things that we got going on, and that is our next show at Heroes of Wrestling, where I am a full-time employee. What? That means I commentate a couple times a month. No biggie. But our next show is October 28th, and we are at the Southern Junction Nightclub in Royce City, Texas, which is about 36 minutes, to be exact, northeast of Dallas proper. So, and it is a kid-friendly show, bell time at 5 p.m., doors open at 3. So be there, and in this particular show, all children are encouraged to dress up as their favorite wrestler, whether it be a wrestler that works for Heroes, whether it be a WWE superstar, an Impact superstar. You can even dress like Floyd or myself. It does not matter. You can dress up any way you want. If you don't want to dress up as a wrestler, you can dress up as yourself. Just wanted to put that all out there real quick. Then, on December 16th, a guy that we know all too well and that we love a ton, Floyd, is coming to Heroes of Wrestling, and that is the Loose Cannon, Flying Brian Pillman Jr. How about that?
Yeah, that's a definite big pickup. That's a big pickup. You know, he's getting out and he's working. That's the most important thing. Bumping and learning, as we like to say.
Bumping and learning. Show,
he's out there, and so I'm looking forward to meeting up with Brian Pillman Jr. again. Because, you know, I've seen him even in the few months that I've been watching him, I've seen improvement.
That's awesome. He's a big time on the independent scene, the big free agent out there right now. And we got to meet him just a few weeks ago, 21 days ago to be exact. And we got to meet him and MJF together. How cool was it to meet MJF there? We're going to talk about MJF for a minute.
All right. That was amazing. A rare thing is he's a curt person that no matter what you say to him, he doesn't break gimmick outside of the ring, to the point where even Brian Pillman says, I've never seen him act any other way.
Right. And, as much as we know about wrestling, and you know far more than I do, you know, I just now got back into wrestling 4 years ago, as we all know. So there's a lot of indie wrestlers and indie wrestling that I'm still playing catch up on and stuff like that. But you did not know a whole lot about MJF going into StarCast, right? That's what we kind of talked about the last time we talked about MJF. So you didn't know the full extent of he's taking his gimmick seriously, like a 1980s style kayfabe wrestler, correct?
Yeah, that is absolutely correct. Yeah, that I was like, that is definitely correct. I didn't know a lot about any. I mean, you know, I saw him on MLW,
right?
But as far as how he interacts with his fans, how he wrestles, his working style, it's stuff I just got familiar with that day.
Right, and it was so funny. Yeah. Because the way I didn't talk to him as much as you did, and what started it off is that he was standing next to Brian Pillman Jr. And Ryan, your co-host at Around the Ring, was telling Pillman Jr., hey, you know, I love your work, and your dad was my favorite wrestler of all time.
He
didn't say wrestler. He said your dad was my favorite of all time. And MJF goes, who are you talking about, my dad? I'm sure my dad would love to hear that. He's really killing it in the paleo muffin world. And oh my God, dude, that just killed me when he said that.
Yes.
And I think that's when you said, I love you for that.
Yes, I love him. I was like, I love you for that. And he's like, I tried to shake his hand. And he just kind of stared at my hand. He's like, I'm not going to shake your hand, but I am going to open my wallet, and you put $5 in there, and I'll let you take a picture with me. And it was funny because he opened the wallet literally to make me put my money in there, and then he grabbed my phone and took the selfie for us.
Yeah. That made it all worth it. I would have probably paid $20 to have that experience looking back on it.
It was awesome because I had no plans on getting any of his stuff. It was the last day I was, you know, I was down to nut cutting, you know, just like, okay, you know, it's like I've spent a lot of money. I'm not going to do this. But I was like, I had a fiver in my pocket. Hey, thanks.
Right.
So he ended up being cheaper. And like I said, it was like he stayed in gimmick. And I tell people that all the time. That's way more memorable than, you know, the people. Like, I met Bully Ray, and I love Bully Ray. He just kind of gave me the fist bump, signed my thing, took my picture, and left. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I will never forget that MJF interaction.
Yeah, I will not either. And I'm still laughing about it, thinking about it. Yeah, you're right. I will never forget that. And that is something that has kind of inspired me in a sense since I'm, you know, working to be a wrestler. And I've heard you say that a few times. And I've thought that myself, that, man, that was so memorable that he stayed in character, that that's something that I want to do as well when I get on the indie scene, is to teach myself to completely stay in character. So people will have good memories of that, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
One thing I was gonna say a couple of things. So I've looked up MJF since then, and then the first Wrestling Observer newsletter that was dropped after StarCast, that was made 40,000 words basically on StarCast and All In. Talked about him briefly as well. A couple things I learned about him is Kurt Hawkins is one of his trainers, and he's only been on the indie scene about 3 years, and that's very inspiring to me, because, you know, he's like, and that mixed with what Dave Meltzer said about him, which is that he is one of the new school, old school guys coming up that wrestle an old school traditional style and are really fine-tuning and play and having paying very close detail to their character work, and not so much doing the new strong style, flippy in-ring work. Does all that make sense? He's wrestling a traditional style and working a lot on his character. So more of a Ric Flair-esque wrestler and Miz-esque wrestler rather than a Kenny Omega-style wrestler. Does all that make sense to you, Floyd?
That definitely makes sense. It's just, you know, it's just a more of a character style. I mean, it's like we were talking about it yesterday. He's about the stuff that happens in between the moves. He's going to throw an elbow, and it's going to be basic as hell, but he's going to tell the guy for 5 minutes about how hard he just elbowed him.
Exactly, yes. And you put it in so much better words than I can even imagine.
And then he's going to go look out in the front, and he's going to see somebody booing him, and he's going to say, "Sit down, fat boy." And then he's going to get booed anymore. And then he's like, you know, he'd be like, tells the guys, like, dude, he's like, you left your teeth at home or something like that. That's what he's going to do. He's going to do that all in between. And then he's going to come back while the dude's selling the elbow. He's going to stomp him. And he's going to get booed again. And he's just going to, and then, like, he might put on a 15-minute match. He might do, like, 8 moves because he's about what happens in between each move.
Right, right. I absolutely love that. I absolutely love that. And as I progress further in the academy and the closer I get to hitting the indie scene, I want to have some shows where you and I just kind of free talk about some of the stuff that I want to do with my character, and I want to get your ideas and stuff. How's that sound? Would that sound like that would sound like some cool episodes, right?
Yeah, definitely. I'm down for that.
Yeah, because I would love to, you know, I think that would make good listening for one, and I can pick your brain about, you know, because you've been a fan for so long, and you know so much about indie wrestling, you know so much about WWE, you know, and sorry, I got, you know, if you follow us on social media, you know that I have bronchitis, so my voice is kind of going in and out, and I got a little coughing, so I do apologize, but picking your brain, you know, I want, you know, I want your help in helping me form my character. You know what I mean? That's something that I've said since day one, since we started doing the show, is that I want to get people's input about building my character. And what better person, than to have the co-host, my good friend, you know what I mean? Helping me build this character from the ground up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I think it'd be really fun for us to do that. And MJF is definitely someone on the rise that I'm looking at, not to steal his gimmick by any means, but to emulate his style, i.e. Old school wrestling mixed with lots of character work. But let's get on to, let's see, we've talked about what we're going to do at Heroes of Wrestling. We got Brian Pillman coming in, which is really awesome. I didn't lay the actual commentary on his match with Matt Sydal that he did at World Class Revolution when I worked for that promotion. I didn't lay the commentary. I wasn't on the commentary, but I worked on the commentary team at that time when we did the post-commentary work, so that was something that I got to talk to him about. If you remember when we met him, and Brian Pillman Jr. was so cool about that. When I told him, I was like, I wasn't on the actual commentary, but I was on the commentary team at that time, and we were using, you know, I was there doing the post work and laying down the track and stuff like that. And he was like, "Oh, dude, I remember that match." He's like, "That's cool that you got to work on that." He said, "I didn't get a chance to watch it back. How was it?" And I was like, "Oh, dude, it was a phenomenal match." And he goes, "Man, to be honest, I don't even remember some of the match, because when you wrestle Matt Sydal, he's so good, it just kind of happens. Like, you just kind of follow his lead, and it's like a dance, and it just happened." And it was so cool to hear him say that, like, putting over someone like that, you know? Like, he was just like, "Oh, yeah, that guy's phenomenal. Like, he made me look good," basically, was what he was saying, you know?
Yeah, Matt Sydal, him putting on Matt Sydal as a great wrestler is one of those things that Matt Sydal would be in the WWE, and he would be a cornerstone of the 205 Live division, but he likes smoking weed. So everyone knows he's one of the better wrestlers in the world, so definitely putting him over and saying he's just a great dance partner is amazing to hear, because I've never heard a bad thing about Matt Sydal.
Is that why he's not in the WWE? Is because he just likes to smoke weed, so he's like, whatever.
Yeah, it was the weed, and then he was the K2, and it was like when they were really, instead of having a weed tax, they were really about you not smoking weed, and that's why he's not in the WWE.
Would you say a weed tax?
Yeah, now they have a weed tax. So
the WWE does?
We're going to test you every few months, and if you fail, you'll pay a fine, which is like $1,500, and you can keep doing what you do.
No shit. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What?
It's not outlaw banned. It's not banned anymore. It's not where you get the 30-day and 60-day suspension. It's just you pay a little fine so you can keep smoking weed.
No shit. That's what WWE does.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, they wouldn't have been able to sign Matt Riddle, in case that was it. Matt Riddle is not, he's not just a weed smoker. He is a proponent of weed. He is a weed, he thinks everybody should smoke weed, you know. He's one of those people, he's very much about it.
And I'm all, I don't smoke weed, but I'm all about it. You know what I mean? I 100%, I think it should be legal. I mean, the only thing, you know, I just don't smoke it. But, you know, I am 100% behind Matt Riddle and anybody else that wants to smoke it. You know what I mean? So I think that is so cool.
I'm all about anything that is getting people off the over-the-counter or over-the-counter prescription opiots.
Absolutely.
If smoking weed keeps you off of that crap, smoke all the weed you want to.
Absolutely. So when did all this start?
It wasn't really publicized. It's more stuff I've heard. I think it's been about a year or two.
Really? I wonder who's the one that kind of leaked it. I'm sure, I'm assuming that someone within the WWE leaked it to somebody, and I wonder if anyone knows that.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Good for them. That's something positive about the WWE that I like to hear. And I'm assuming the WWE did it more out of necessity more than they wanted, you know, more so than they wanted
I imagine quite a few people were failing.
Yeah, and I wouldn't doubt it if they seen whatever the rise of the indies, and they're like, dude, you know, we don't want to lose all these guys to an up-and-coming indie scene over a plant, you know, so they're like, eh, we'll just make a little money off of it and be on our way. So let's just go down the list here. You think Seth Rollins pays that weed tax?
I do not.
Oh, you don't think Rollins smokes?
Oh, he's super CrossFit guy.
Yeah, I kind of look.
Him and Cesaro, they're all about what they put in their body.
Really? Yeah. I mean, I assumed. But at the same time, I kind of thought Rollins might like to, you know, he still lives in Davenport, Iowa, right?
Yeah. Rollins? Yeah, I think so. But, you know, it's kind of one of those things, he's never at home. But, yeah, I think because he has his wrestling school in Davenport.
Yeah, and which they were at StarCast. Did you get to see that?
Yeah, Black and Brave was there, yeah.
Yeah, and where does that name come from, Black and Brave? Is that from his Tyler Black name?
Yeah, Tyler Black. And then, you know, I guess you got to be brave to be a wrestler. From what I understand, it's just, you know, and it's a CrossFit school, a CrossFit academy, a wrestling school, and now it's a t-shirt company too.
Yeah, okay. That's cool, man. I seen one of the shirts, and Marvelous Mike. See, he was born in Davenport, and his dad is from Davenport, and I seen one of the shirts that Black and Brave makes, and it's got
the new Titletown USA.
Yeah, new Titletown USA, and it's got all the titles that he's won. I don't know if it's just the WWE titles or if it has like the Ring of Honor title, because he was Ring of Honor champion for a while, right?
That is correct.
And so I don't know if it had those titles there as well. I don't know.
It looks like it was only the WWE titles.
Oh, okay. But it had, you know, New Titletown USA, Davenport. I don't even have an association with Davenport, but I would like to have one of those shirts.
I wanted one, and they did not have it in 3X, and they don't have it in 3X online, but they do have it in 2X.
They do have them online, though?
Yes, they okay. do have them online.
I'm gonna have to look those bad boys up and get me one. But anyway, I showed Marvelous Mike, and we had already, you and I had already left StarCast. They had already left StarCast when I had seen it. And so I sent it to him. I think, did Ryan buy one?
He couldn't. Yeah, they didn't have his size.
Oh, they didn't have his size. Maybe he showed me a picture and I had him send it to me. I can't remember exactly how it went down, but I seen the shirt and I was like, oh, so I sent it to Mike and he was like, oh man, if I'd have known. But anyway, you think Randy Orton's got to pay that tax, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I think he definitely does.
Yeah, that was the two that I wanted to ask. Oh, well, last one.
I think when he got suspended, that's what it was for.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's a thing. They don't ever tell exactly what it's for.
Yeah, yeah. Last one, Roman Reigns. You think Roman pays that tax?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think him and the Usos definitely pay that tax.
Oh, the Usos. Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Usos pay that tax.
Yes. They definitely pay that tax.
You think that means Naomi does too?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The Naomi and Jimmy, they're like, yeah, that's $3,000 well spent.
Yes.
All right, man. Well, let's review some SmackDown, man. So, what'd you think? You were there, man. Tell me what you thought. What'd you grade it?
Dude, I always love, like I said, live events are always better because it's the crowd. The Tulsa crowd was, I was a little taken aback because when I got there, I didn't see any Bullet Club shirts, and all the wrestling shirts I saw were older. You know, they weren't like the new things. It was like the Miz's shirt from 5 years ago, a lot of the wrestling shirts from 5 years ago. And I was like, okay. This is a casual fan, casual fan base. And I thought the crowd wasn't going to be that good for the show, but it actually, I mean, they were loud and they were really into it. And, you know, and like I said, it was just, we were like, I think we were part of the way through the show before I saw my first two Bullet Club shirts. And it got pretty wild. And it was definitely fun. We had these two guys that were two rows behind us were the kind of fans I hate. They were wearing these wrestling, like, the singlets from, like, real amateur wrestling. And then they were cracking jokes. They were trying to crack the jokes the whole show. And I'm like, I'm all about enjoy the show for what you are. But they were clearly trying to get over.
Yeah.
It was clearly more about them than it was about the wrestling show.
Oh, those guys.
Yes, and they were annoying. And I ignored them. You know, halfway through the show, I was able to just drown them out in my head. But I hate those guys. It's just like, I don't mind cheering and chanting, and I don't mind anything. It's just make it about the show.
Right, right. Yeah, I get that. And yeah, those kind of people that just try to go and get themselves over, it's so lame. Like, they're trying to show off to a bunch of people they don't know and they'll never see again. You're just like, I know you're kind of putting on a show, you know what I mean? Like, why would you want to pay money to go put on a show? Go enjoy yourself. Like, if that's really how you enjoy yourself, then I kind of feel sorry for you, you know?
I mean, it's absolutely true. That's exactly how I feel. It's just like, I don't know what you do in your personal time. I'm not pretending to know, but the fact that you need to come to a wrestling show and try to take the attention off of the wrestlers is kind of annoying and a little pathetic to me.
Yeah. Yep. I hear you. I don't blame you at all. A couple things I wanted to mention right before we start on Miz TV was, did you see Cody's tweet the other day? Someone tweeted, I don't know how it got started, if Cody tweeted something and then replied to one of the replies, or if he's seen a tweet and he replied, but it was a reply to someone's either tweet or reply, and someone was complaining about the fans. You know, the fans are just trying to be the stars of the show, and they want to take over, And Cody straight up was like, hey, it's never the fans' fault. Like, there's no good guys. He basically said there's no good guys and bad guys anymore. The fans run the show, and it's up to us to figure out what engages the fans, and it's our job to continuously engage the fans. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, and I thought, and let me tell you, I thought that was really cool, but I kind of disagree, because I've just been to those ones where the fans just decide they're going to hijack the show. You know, I've been to those. Full Sail plays by their own rules. I'm not saying they hijack the show, but they definitely know that they're part of the show. Okay. It's better now, because I remember a couple times we got like "We Are Awesome" chants, and I hate those.
Right.
Because you know, but now all their chants are towards the what's going on, who's wrestling, and all that stuff. But when you become that crowd where you decide you're more over than the wrestlers, that's a problem inherently.
Yeah, now that is where I would draw the line. Like, I would be one of the people like Cody is saying, that the fans are always right as long as, you know, it pertains to the show. Does that make sense? Like, once we as a fan base start turning the show to about us, not about what we want to see, that's where we're crossing the line. So, absolutely. I know you understand what I'm saying, but like, just to elaborate that on that a little bit, is like, just like exactly what you said. Like, if I'm chanting and, you know, they want to make Becky a heel, but I'm approving of what Becky is doing, so I'm cheering Becky even though she's doing heel shit. Like, you know, that means that I want her to be the babyface in this situation. You know, I'm not wanting her to do something different. You know, I'm wanting her, you know, in my eyes, she's the babyface. But if I'm, you know, chanting, you know, if I'm chanting something crazy like "We are over, we run the show," like, that's dumb. That makes no sense. That I'm not the star of the show. I'm the audience. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And I think I don't know if that's what Cody, completely believes. But I want to believe that that's what Cody meant by that.
I understand it. Cody thinks before he speaks.
Right.
That was the answer the fans wanted to hear.
Yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That was the fans, you know, he's saying, you know what? It's not on you. It's on me to entertain you. And the reason people do that is because they're not being entertained. That's the reason some people do it. Those guys came in that night and they decided they were going to put on their little show.
Yeah.
Like, whenever somebody grappled, they say that was 2 points for the reversal and blah, blah, blah. They had a whole little kind of skit worked out that they were going to do.
Yeah, so, see, that's lame.
So, yeah, it was like they had this whole little thing they worked out. It was like a two-man, like a two-man show. So it wasn't like they weren't going to allow anything else to entertain them to shut them up.
Yeah, yeah. Don't be bringing in your inside jokes to the stadium, like, and trying to put on a show with it to everybody. Like, that's, you know, it's one thing for me and Floyd, I'm just using me and you as an example. It's one thing for me and you to go and we see Cody, and we're like, oh, that's the man right there. You know, we too sweet at him. You know what I mean? And then, that's one thing to have like this inside joke between us two, but we're not going to be trying to start chants and be obnoxious about some inside joke. And these two guys, you know, obviously were maybe high school wrestlers or something with their inside jokes and their 2 points and shit like that. Like, I don't care about your inside jokes and shit you did in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because it was like, I went to that NXT show in Oklahoma City, and this guy was like, "Happy birthday to Scott Dawson." I And Scott Dawson acknowledged him, and he kept yelling it through the whole match. And it was just like, he acknowledged you. He gave you the wave, and he said, thank you. And then he kept doing it. So it realized it wasn't about him wishing happy birthday. It was about everyone looking at you.
Yep. Yeah, that's dumb. The next thing I wanted to mention was something I've kind of been thinking about for a while, and Joe Lanza on Voices of Wrestling, who I am now a patron of, I'm a $5 patron of Voices of Wrestling, the flagship show, something that he kind of mentioned that I wanted to talk about was he was saying that the WWE focuses so much on storylines that they've kind of fallen back on creating interesting characters. And I just wanted to get your viewpoint on that, because I agree with them. If the WWE stopped trying to build so many interesting situations that the characters get in and start spending more time on building interesting characters, I feel like us as wrestling fans would be more invested. So I guess what my question is to you, Floyd, is would you rather see more interesting storylines being brought up by the WWE or more time spent on character?
I am big on character. I need to know you, who you are, and what your motivation is. So I think it starts there. Build up the character and then put them in unique situations.
Which
is the storyline. So yes, I am about building up the character first. Like Becky Lynch, like, and we're going to talk about her more tonight, but her character is just so much more believable and so much more interesting now. I know people that are tuning in just to watch what Becky Lynch does.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Because she's interesting now.
Yeah.
So, and that came from a character change and her playing a character she seems to believe in.
Right. Yeah, I totally dig that. I can't remember if Lanza used an example or not, but the first example that popped into my head is Andrade Cien Almas. They did a lot of character work when he was in NXT, but let's say that you don't watch NXT and you see Andrade Cien Almas pop up. What the hell do you know about this guy if you don't watch NXT? You know absolutely nothing about his character and his relationship with Zelina Vega. Am I right?
Correct. Yeah.
So how then are you supposed to be invested in a multiple match string with the world champion? How are you supposed to be invested with anything that he does if you know nothing about the person?
Yeah, they used to do the promos before someone would show up.
Right.
And that would help build up the excitement for them and help build up their character. With Andrade and Zelina, they tried to do it mostly with what Michael Cole says. I think Huda or whoever that does the SmackDown guy. It's not Michael Cole. Tom Phillips. He's supposed to be filling in the character work and the story. He just, to me, doesn't do a very good job at it.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, there's only so much. And, you know, he doesn't do, I don't think Michael Cole is I don't know. It's hard for me to pass judgment on Michael Cole. Sometimes I think he's doing the best he can, and other times I'm like, God, shut the hell up. But, I mean, either way, and I'm sure you would agree with this, like, there's just only so much buildup that you can do over a single commentator. Like, there needs to be those vignettes before he comes in, like you mentioned before that they used to do. And there just needs to be character buildup, because if, like, for instance, if they had one of the best storylines of the year with Andrade Cien Almas starting tomorrow, I could still only get so invested in it if I know very little about the character. Like, I need to know. I'm the type of fan that wants to know about the backstory of the character. And so many other fans are. I know tons of fans would agree with you and I on that, that you got to know the backstory on the character to give a shit about the storyline that he's in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I just wanted to kind of complain about that a little bit before we got going. Let's start off with some Miz TV. So we basically opened the show with Miz on our TV and Miz TV, and I absolutely love every time he's got a microphone, the flag is turned upside down so the W's are an M. I still love that. He's been doing that since day one of Miz TV, and I absolutely love it.
So let me tell you something interesting. All right. So we're outside, and rumors are going around. There's like, Miz is going to have a special guest. The rumors are it's going to be Finn Balor because, you know, Finn Balor doing a surprise roster change. And, you know, you heard a lot of rumors, right? And then it was like, soon as he started talking about how exclusive the guest was, I was like, oh, this is Maurice.
You called it?
Yeah, I know. I looked at Ryan and said, this is Maurice. And he's like, because he kept thinking, he built it up. And I was like, this is so Maurice. Because first of all, Maurice wasn't out there with him. Right. And then second of all, see, he was just going in and how exclusive the person was. I was like, this is Maurice. And then it was Maurice.
Yeah, he promised a special guest. He types his number. He hypes up his number one contenders match with Daniel Bryan at WWE's Super Showdown. Commentary acts like this is a new thing. I don't know if you watched it back, but when he's hyping up his number one contenders match with Bryan, the commentary team is, you know, hyping it up, even though this has been the stipulation for a while. He builds up his special guest some more, and it is his wife, Maurice, which I popped pretty hard for. I absolutely love it. Got a nice little audible giggle out of me. They're amazingly obnoxious together. She talks about beating Brie. She said it was the easiest thing she's ever done in her life. They mock Brie and Brian's relationship, kind of like they did with Cena and Nikki Bella. They obviously say they're the superior couple. They go on and on and on. Brian comes out. He's pissed. They brawl for a little bit. Daniel Bryan drop kicks Miz into Maurice. And then I think she started selling like her belly, right? Like her stomach hurt. Yeah. Like, oh. Yeah. So of course, Daniel Bryan is, you know, he's the baby face. He's the good guy. So he feels bad and he's checking on her. And it was a trap. He trapped him, or they trapped him.
Yeah, the setup on it was too long, though.
Oh, you think Miz, so?
And I don't know if there was a commercial break there, but as the Miz with the water in his hand standing behind Daniel Bryan, it just took forever.
Yeah.
You knew what was coming, and it just took forever for them to execute it to me.
Right, right. Yeah, no, there wasn't a commercial break there, but now that you mention it, that does make complete sense.
I'm just like, good Lord, would you just run and hit him?
But if you remember on the show, I talked about my desire to have Miz win the world championship from AJ Styles and then go on to wrestle Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania and to drop the title and for Daniel Bryan to once again become our world heavyweight champion. So I am hoping that's what's going to happen.
And I have been very, very clear about my thinking that WWE wasn't going to give him anything until he signed that contract. He signs that contract in between. They had already announced the mixed tag. He signs that contract. The show's over. He's immediately in the title picture.
Yeah. And he now has signed the contract, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm just saying. It didn't make sense to give him anything, because all you would do is, by putting him in the title picture, is give him more leverage in negotiations.
Right, that makes sense. Yeah, so that makes total sense.
Out of the, you keep him out of the title picture and basically say, okay, so we have this way to write you off in case you don't want to sign. He then signs, and there's like, okay, now we can trust you and put you in a title position.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, we know now that you're going to be here for the next 3 years or 5 years or whatever, so we can put the strap on you, and, you know, we don't, you know, if you're not leaving, we know you're not leaving in the next 5 months, so we don't have to put the belt on you and then possibly pay you more or, you know, have you drop the title and, you know, all this and that. So no Bret Hartism, because they know he's going to be here for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
It just makes sense. It's like everybody's like, well, he's not in all these dream matches. Why? No team, if you think of the WWE as a team because it's a cooperative sport, no team is going to raise the value of a player before paying them.
Right.
They're going to do everything they can to lower the value of you.
Yeah, they're trying to save money. They're trying to make money.
We're going to try to tell you that we don't need you. So when we're negotiating, I can offer you less money.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah. We see Daniel Bryan get interviewed backstage. He called The Miz a coward with a plan. He says in Australia he's going to punch Miz in the face and punch his ticket to a WWE title shot, I think is how he said it. Then we see the New Day talking about retaining their titles at Hell in a Cell. They move on. They talk about the Super Showdown, and we get some crocodile hunter outfits.
Yeah, they were. I was gonna say they were the crocodile. And they were Steve Irwin.
Okay, I didn't know. That's all I was kind of asking because I was pretty sure that's what it was, but I didn't know if y'all got that in the. I didn't know if y'all got that feed or what.
Yeah.
Or if you got that same impression or what? Because I figured they were doing the horrible accent and stuff like that. So I know.
And then he said the Iconic said it was okay. They got a good laugh from the crowd.
That's right. Yeah. So we get Cesaro and Kofi Kingston in the first match. What was the dark match? Do you remember? Or was there one?
No, there wasn't. They taped 205 Live first.
Oh, that's right. You told me that the other day that they were doing 205 Live before now. That's right.
Yeah, so definitely no dark match.
Gotcha. So Sheamus, Woods, and Big E are ringside for this match, and Cesaro actually goes over on Kofi Kingston in 7 minutes and 15 seconds. I thought it was pretty good, man. What did you think about it?
I thought it was a really good match. Those are both did our underrated list on the club. They were both on the list of underrated performers, and this was a good match. You hadn't seen Cesaro hit the neutralizer in a while, and he hit the God Style neutralizer in a different way. He literally deadlifted Kofi up from the ground in the neutralizer position, and then just slammed him down. He didn't do the whole neck thing. He didn't make the big spectacle of it.
Yeah, I thought that was really cool. I'm wondering, do you think that he's going to do it like that from now on, or?
I mean, I think it was something he was able to do because of Kofi's size. He might not do it permanently. You know, it was just, he was clearly going over, so it was a cool way to end the match.
Right. Yeah, I dug it. I didn't think it wasn't too short, and it was two world-class guys going head-to-head. Thought it was pretty cool. And did he, if I remember right, he won the bar a title shot with this win, right?
Oh, no, they already had the title. They had already announced the title shot for Super Showdown.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. And that's going to be, that is the Australia show coming up.
Yes.
It's like October, I can't remember.
Third.
October 3rd.
It's like Saturday, so it's just 6th or 5th.
Oh, okay. Sometime during then.
Yeah.
Next, you see Rusev and English have words over their Hell in a Cell loss, and Rusev actually tells them stay away from the ring tonight. Rusev and Lana leave, and you see English complaining about Rusev Day, how Rusev Day was all his idea, and that all the shortcomings and shit is Lana's fault, and Lana hears it all. Lana heard all of it, bro.
And that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, you snitch. Don't do it, Lana. Don't do it, Lana. Next, we see Randy Orton in the production truck. I've seen some people on Twitter saying it looked like he was getting sexually aroused in there. Getting sexually aroused, watching footage of him and Jeff Hardy and the ear stuff. He has some production guy pull up the footage of him doing the stuff in the Hell in a Cell to Jeff Hardy's ear with the screwdriver. He says he's going to give even more destruction to his next opponent or victim, whatever he called him. You know, typical Randy Orton's lost his mind type stuff.
So, I think Daniel Bryan's his next victim.
Oh, you think so?
I think that's how The Miz wins the match at Super Showdown.
Oh, okay. Is that just your personal opinion? Have you seen some stuff?
No. I never spoil. I never read ahead. So, I got you. That is a guess. That
I got
you. 100% guess. I figured this is the way Floyd's mind works. They need to separate the Miz and Daniel Bryan for a while. Daniel Bryan can't beat the Miz. So they need Miz to beat Daniel Bryan a different way. Randy Orton needs another fan favorite to go after. There's not a lot of faces on SmackDown. I mean, it's either like AJ Styles or R-Truth. Because everybody else is heels.
Right.
So, Daniel Bryan, yes, movement. You know, got the chant. It seems like the most logical target.
Yeah, I agree with you because he's on this, like you said, he's on this destruction of baby faces, fan favorites, whatever you want to call it. He's going back to maybe not the legend killer, but the now the current star killer type gimmick.
Yeah.
And so, Daniel Bryan, now that you mention it, Daniel Bryan would be the next perfect opponent, and it would give them an out to how they can get out of the Miz and Daniel Bryan feud without Daniel Bryan needing to go over. Because if he gets screwed by Randy Orton, Miz goes on to AJ Styles for his number one contender shot. So, I like the idea. And put the belt on the Miz. I'm going to start a hashtag. We'll think of a hashtag. Hashtag put the belt on Miz. Give Miz a chance. Something like that. Let's see. AJ Styles shows up and he's interviewed. He says Joe winning the title would have been the worst thing in the world. And sometimes you get lucky. Karma caught up with Joe. He'll settle things in Australia. But tonight it's all about Andrade Cien Almas.
He needs to stop looking past him. And I like how they did this. Was that then ended up being the next match after that, or did we have another match before that?
We had Nakamura versus Rusev first.
Okay, let's talk about that one first.
Okay, yeah. So it looks like that Lana is going to tell Rusev what English said, but Rusev is like, no, let's wait till later. And he says, ask English to sing him to the ring. So English sings Nakamura or Rusev to the ring. Does the Rusev Day gimmick. Shinsuke Nakamura comes out. I don't know, Rusev was acting kind of dumb in the ring because Nakamura was kind of getting up, and Rusev English is like, Rusev crush, and Rusev kind of looks at him. He's like, what? Next thing you know, Nakamura gets him with the roll up. Nakamura retains the U.S. title, and it was. What'd you think of the match?
I thought it was a decent match. These two are, one's really, really Rusev's WWE trained, like completely took his first bump in the WWE. So, and him and Nakamura, as far as the strong style, it's going to take a minute. If they're going to do a long-term feud, it's going to take a minute as far as the styles, especially with Nakamura trying to work the strong style. But it worked pretty decent here. Rusev is super over. I mean, he's a face that they have not really booked as a face yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that. But after the match, we get the turning point of the night as Aiden English attacks Rusev, bro. Did it shock you at all?
It absolutely shocked me. I always assumed Rusev would be the one attacking Aiden English, and I figured they would carry it out for a week. I felt, in this case, Aiden English just felt like he didn't have a choice because Lana was going to tell Rusev. He cost Rusev the match. Lana was going to tell Rusev, so he had to take his shot now.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think English was out of options, and he was like, man, if I don't turn on him now, that I could just lose a friend and be kicked out of the spotlight and not have a feud with Rusev to boot. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
I think he did what he thought he had to do. It was the heel move, so I guess is this... Well, they were kind of heels already, right? Weren't they booked as heels, English and Rusev, or were they getting booked as a babyface?
No, they were booked as booked kind of as heels. They would cheat to win. Now Rusev and Lana are officially going to be faces.
They're going to be faces in this whole thing. Yeah. Man, I hope they don't do English dirty, man. I don't want to see English. I don't want to see him, you know, in 2 months just get released, but I don't know how much work they're going to give him after this Rusev feud. I mean, can you think of anything that they might give him? Or
he's super over, so as far as his act, I mean, it's similar to Elias, you know, because of the whole singing performance act of it, so it does have legs. It's just one of those things. It's going to be how people react to the Rusev thing.
That makes sense.
If they don't react to him not being in Rusev Day, then he's not going to get any kind of rub out of it.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. We get Lana screaming at the top of her lungs, bro, and that whole thing.
Get out! Get out now! I was like, and she kept screaming it, and she kept saying it, and I was like, this is horrible. Stop it.
Yeah.
I didn't know that they had cut to commercial and he had played or whatever, but she just kept saying the same thing over. Like, yep. He just beat up your husband, telling him to get out. That's going to work.
Yeah, yeah. next is the non-title match between AJ Styles and Andretti and Almas. Man, I thought this was a really good match, and I thought Almas had the opportunity to possibly go over on AJ on this one, especially since it was a non-title match, but AJ Styles goes over. The match was just shy of 15 minutes long. I thought it was very good, man. It was very good. I'd almost say great. Almas got in a lot. He got in a lot of offense on this one compared to, you know, what a lot of people have on AJ. You know, he did well with the post match attack as well. You know, it didn't go too far. I mean, the whole situation I thought was cool. What'd you think?
Yeah, I thought this whole match and everything. Zelina's involvement in it, limited involvement in it. Andrade tried to get in the wrestle. The Samoa Joe thing after, I thought it was just pitch perfect. You know, it's like I loved it, but I really do wish AJ could get a main event every now and then.
Yeah,
I really do wish this closed the show, because it's just like I've never seen a WWE champion get less respect than AJ Styles.
Oh, man, I agree so damn much. And we talked about this on the Hell in a Cell review. Why do they treat this world title like it's the secondary belt? Like you said, it's like it's the damn Intercontinental belt. Why is this? I mean, this isn't even closing out SmackDown. Not only did this title play third fiddle, not even second fiddle, third fiddle on the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view, but now it's playing second fiddle to a non-title match, a non-title squash match on SmackDown.
Yeah, it's like, it literally wasn't, I mean, they did a segment as the main event.
Yeah.
I mean, so this didn't even get more love than a segment. I mean,
yeah, I forgot. I forgot about the segment. Yeah, this played third fiddle. This played third fiddle on the damn free show you get on Tuesday nights on USA.
This should have been the main event. I imagine AJ doesn't have a problem with it, you know, as long as he's getting his upside on his check. But it's just the disrespect that they're kind of playing the WWE belt and AJ Styles is annoying. He probably doesn't have any problem with it. I think this is a super annoying fan type thing, but it's annoying to me because the WWE title, or excuse me, AJ Styles versus Andrade Cien Almas should be the main event of whatever show it's on.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes my thought process kind of jumps back and forth because sometimes I'm like, they're getting paid $800,000 a year, that, you know, the champion probably doesn't care if he's the opening match or what. But sometimes I think, man, these guys, you know, they didn't get to be a world champion from half-assing it. Like, they've worked hard, they've built an ego from that hard work and recognition over the years. So, I mean, they've got to at least sometimes be bothered. AJ Styles being the example here, he's got to at least be somewhat bothered at times that he's holding the world title that most wrestling fans look at as like the world title, the most recognized pro wrestling world title. And, you know, they're putting them in the middle of the show. Like, it's got to bother him sometimes, wouldn't you think? Or do you think, no, he completely looks at it as a prop and he's going on about his business?
I've made the clip point that AJ wanted to go to WWE. He wanted to prove he can make it there. But I think it's just about his money grab now. I don't think he particularly cares.
Okay.
I think he wanted to get Joe over because Joe's his friend, but and Andrade, and I don't think he's ever going to just, like, phone it in. But as far as his spot on the card, he's still the WWE champion, so he probably doesn't care a lot.
I got you. Okay. That would be a nice thing that I wish I could ask AJ if he gave a shit, if he would give me the real answer. We see when I mentioned it briefly, but Joe attacks AJ post-match. He, I think he raked his eyes and then bailed. He bailed through the crowd. We see the Iconics making fun of the fans, making fun of Asuka and Naomi. And then, you know, we see this is Asuka's first match in a while that we've seen, or second, right? Like, she hasn't been around much.
Yeah, and it was kind of cool because you see she dyed her hair basically Naomi's clothes. So you see that it looks like it looks like they're going to be tagging more often. And then that whole glow entrance thing, that's really cool. I would love to see Asuka's like that big coat glowed out a little bit, just, you know, maybe not permanently, but just like for one show.
That would be cool, man.
I think it would be pretty freaking cool. I just like that Asuka was an ass kicker again. I miss Asuka the ass kicker.
Yeah, that would be cool, man. Yeah, that would be really cool to see them do like a dual intro, and her big furry coat is like glowing, and like maybe something on her mask or something. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. But we get Asuka versus Billy Kay. Peyton Royce and Naomi are ringside. Billy Kay tries to run. You know, Royce tries to distract Asuka, blah, blah, blah. But Asuka counters a move into the Asuka lock. Billy Kay taps really quick. Match lasted less than 2 minutes. And Floyd, you know how I feel about matches that last less than 3 or 4 minutes. I think they're dumb. I think they're dumb. But there is one but. I think this one was intentionally supposed to look like a squash.
Yeah. Asuka was supposed to dominate this match.
Yeah, and I think in this instance, I got to give it a little bit of a pass because it involved Asuka. She hasn't been on TV too much, and I think this was supposed to be like, hey, I'm still a badass, you know? 95% of the time, I do not want to see a match that lasts a minute and 42 seconds, but in this situation, I was like, yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, well, like, if it's a, like, if it's Lars Sullivan on NXT, and they're building him up for his next title defense or whatever, I have no problem with squash matches. I don't. But to me, it has to be a reason.
Right. Yeah, I agree.
And it has to be a clear reason.
Yep.
I have to be able to see it. I don't want to guess. I want to see the clear reason.
Right. How many times have you got to see Asuka live? Do you know? Like, actually wrestle live?
Actually wrestle live. I saw her in NXT as the champ. I'd say seven or eight times.
That's cool, man. She's phenomenal, is she not?
Yeah. And, you know, I got my picture with her at Mania this year.
What? I didn't know that.
Yeah, remember, I think I gave out the print, the autograph print.
Oh, lucky.
Yeah, so, oh, yeah, and she is, it's funny, TV. TV makes her look intimidating, so in that way, she is, they're very good at their production, but then when you see her in person, she is absolutely freaking gorgeous.
Oh, I bet.
Like, she is, like, when I saw her, I don't get nervous very much. It was just like, I got up close and I was just taken aback at how actually, like, beautiful she was.
That's cool.
Yeah, so she's a very attractive woman. It's just, you know, they build her up as this, like, monster, but she was in the business, like, suit, the white kind of business suit with the jacket on, and she was smiling and handshaking everybody, and it was just like, oh, wow, she's hot.
That's cool. Did you get to hear her say anything?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was she talking a bit? Yeah,
I told her how much I appreciated her work and everything like that. And she's like, well, thank you. And I was like, are you going to beat Charlotte tomorrow? And she's like, she's not ready for Asuka.
That's cool, dude.
And it was kind of cool. And she was just, you know, it was very fun.
That's cool, man. I really dig that. I love to hear those kind of stories where the superstars, you know what I mean, they're just like mighty cool to the people that are waiting in line to meet them. I think that's really, really awesome. And I think there are still a lot of superstars out there, a lot of indie wrestlers and WWE wrestlers that still remember what it's like to be a fan. And I dig that.
Yeah, Braun, because I met Braun like right before her. It was like I met Braun and Asuka and like the back-to-back lines type of thing. And Braun was super nice. He's just a big, friendly giant.
He seems like he would be like that.
Yeah, because just think about, no one tries him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I mean, yeah. No one wants to bother him.
I'm like, even when you're drunk, I'm talking, if you're drunk, you look at him and he stands up and you look at his arms, that sobers you right up. You're like, nah, I'm not going to mess with you.
It's so true.
He's such a massive man. Like, the first time I saw him in person, it was at Access at WrestleMania 32, and they were doing this thing where there was like a false wall in the Access, and he kept like jumping out at people. He jumped out at someone else, and I was like 15 feet away. I was a good distance away, and I still jumped. Because he's that big of a man.
I dig it.
It's like, he's just huge.
Yeah, he's a big mofo. I've only got to see him live once, but he's a big mofo.
Yeah, the combination of him being 6'8", and him being like 350, and it being solid muscle. It's like the whole package of it.
I like it. Next, we're all cordially invited to the coronation of the new SmackDown Women's Champion, Becky Lynch. What'd you think about all this, man?
Man,
you want to give us a rundown of what you remember about it?
Yeah, I was gonna say, she comes down. Paige is already in the ring. they introduce Paige during the commercial break. Paige is in the ring, and she introduces Becky Lynch. And Becky Lynch basically comes out and says, thank you, thank you. Title's where it's supposed to be. She's like, I don't need all the women's roster out here. I only need one person. And she's like, and that's Charlotte Flair. It's just funny how she says her name. It's like Charlotte instead of Charlotte.
And yeah, it seems like she's kind of changed up her cadence a bit, right? Now that she's doing more heelish work.
Yeah, and someone said Stone Cold Becky Lynch, and I was like, that's the best way to do it. Yeah, I mean, that's just, she's doing a very good version of that. She's doing a female version of Stone Cold, of course, with her own twist on it because she's Irish. And it seems like her accent, she's kind of playing it up a little bit more.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like she does.
Might not even playing it up. She's trying. She's not trying to hold it back. You know, she's letting it go, and she's like, "I just need her out here." And then Charlotte, her music hits, and then she comes out here, and she's like, "I forgot the first thing she said. I just need you to. I don't want you to. You're. It's okay. I don't want you to shake my hand. I want you to raise my hand." and then Charlotte's like, no, I'm not gonna do that. And she's like, I don't want you. Never mind. I didn't want you to raise my hand. I just want you to put the belt around my waist. And then she's like, Charlotte hesitates. She's like, no, I'm not doing that. She's like, I didn't want you to put the belt around my waist. I don't want you to touch me. I want you to just call me queen. And Charlotte, of course, says, basically, you ended our friendship, because she's saying stuff in between this, but you're ending our friendship or whatever. And then Charlotte does the, she says, I want you to call me queen. And Charlotte gets really upset, and she's basically going to leave. And Becky just drops it. Bitch.
Oh.
What? And Charlotte attacks Becky, and Becky just beats her ass. It wasn't even like competitive. She just beat her up, threw her up against the guardrail, put her in the disarmer, and then was walking away and hit her one more time, and then she walked away with her belt. And it was like I said, it was very much a Stone Cold moment.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just like, she's a badass. Because she's not a heel. Because heels don't call people out. You know, when they call people out, they got two people ready to jump them. That's right. Why I'm like, she's very much a tweener. She's like, I am better than you. I don't like you. I don't have a problem with everyone here. I don't like you. Because you see, she didn't play up towards the fans, how they didn't support me. But she also didn't play to the fans either.
Right.
She didn't be like, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. She, and when, like, the you deserve it thing, she just no-sold it. She didn't react to it at all.
Yeah, she didn't even act like it was going on, right?
Yeah, she didn't react to it. And it was just like, that's what I'm like, she's doing something different. She's doing something you've never seen a women's wrestler do.
Right.
She's like, literally, whatever the fans say doesn't matter to her. If they boo, she's still going to act the way she acts. If they cheer, she's still going to act the way she acts. And that was kind of the thing with Stone Cold. He would jump on the corners and put up his middle finger, but a lot of stuff he did was pretty heel.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I think Becky has planned this, I mean, perfectly. I think she is made for this right here.
And she's super over, and they would be stupid to take the belt off her anytime soon.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I've read online that, fans tweeting saying that this storyline could probably carry on for a couple more months. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If they wanted to take this through Evolution, I think everyone would be fine with it. Because they put on a really good match Sunday. And you think about it, you give them two more matches, they're only going to get better.
Right, right. You think that, by the way, which we're going to end in the SmackDown review right there, Because that was the end of the show, right? What happened? Yep. What happened after that for the live crowd? Anything?
Mixed match challenge.
Okay.
We got the two matches in the mixed match challenge. It's not my cup of tea. If anybody enjoys it, definitely go for it. But it's on Facebook. It's a little too much comedy wrestling for me.
Right.
And then Charlotte had just gotten beat up by Becky Lynch, and she didn't sell it at all.
Oh, Charlotte didn't sell it as soon as her match started?
Yeah, with the Naomi and us, she didn't sell the beating she had just got from Becky Lynch.
Really? So it was her and Styles, right?
Yeah, her and Styles against Naomi and Jimmy.
Gotcha.
Or Jay. I always forget which one she's married to.
Yeah, I think it's Jimmy.
Yeah, so they did that match, and Charlotte didn't sell anything. She ended up putting her in the figure eight and tapping her out. And then, of course, Braun and Kevin Owens, he beats him up. Ember Moon gets up on Braun's shoulder, jumps off, and does the eclipse on Natalya. And if they showed it all with Natalya had to wait an embarrassingly long time for them to set up her standing up on Braun's shoulders. At one point, Natalya had literally stood up and had to go back down because they were taking so long to set up the move.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so that was really noticeable. I don't like mixed match challenges anyway. I hate mixed tag matches. That's just me personally. I hate to be really negative on it, but I don't think that's for me. Mixed match is not for me. It's for other people.
Now, if they took the intergender part more seriously, like they do on the indies, where the male and female competitor can wrestle, would it be something that interests you more? Or do you think?
Yeah, it would be. It'd definitely be something that interests me more. Or if it's a mixed tag, and like in the first match. Match. Charlotte starts wailing on Jimmy Uso and then puts him in the figure eight. If the referee called the DQ, all right, I'd be down with it. It's just too annoying and one-sided for me.
Right, right.
It's just like, oh, the basic rule is that the men have to fight the men and the women have to fight the women.
Yeah.
And someone clearly breaks the basic rule of the match and you just ignore it.
Yeah. I actually do not really watch Mixed Match Challenge. I'm like you, it doesn't really interest me any, and that has nothing to do with the female wrestling by any means. It's just the way the WWE handles it they don't really take it seriously, and I'm all about, you know, taking wrestling seriously, you know?
Yeah. I'll cover the finals on my show, but the only reason I even brought it up is because I happen to be there this week. But
You probably
won't hear me talk about it for the next, like, 20 weeks.
until it hits the final?
Yeah. I'll be like, oh. Yeah, this is the finals. Yeah, but I doubt it gets any more interesting than it was this week.
Right. Well, that's it, man. That is it for today's show. We get to talk about so much cool stuff. We get to talk about when we met MJF, when we met Flying Brian Pillman Jr. I loved getting to talk about Cody's take on the fans always being right, and I really loved you listening to me as I give my theory on how WWE needs to work on building better characters than they do interesting storylines. And I'm so glad we're on the same page about that. That gives us a bunch of cool stuff to talk about in the near future, because that's not really something that we've talked about a whole lot. So I'd love to talk about that. And we've also established that here pretty soon, not too terribly soon, but in the coming months, when it gets a little bit closer to me graduating the academy, we're going to have some episodes about us free talking about exactly what I see in my character and the ideas that you're going to bring forward. And basically, we're going to mold who exactly the Sly One is on air, man. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
That will be fun. I am definitely looking forward to that.
Yeah, same here. We're gonna build a wrestling character live on the show, man, together, you and I. So it's gonna be a lot of fun. But Floyd, tell us where you spend your weekends at, my man.
Man, I spend my weekends every Sunday morning. Me and my friend Ryan the Great, we record a show called Around the Ring. It is usually up on thechairshot.com by noon. So you go to chairshot.com, go on demand, and you will see Around the Ring with Floyd and Ryan there. You can check out this show every day because it's up by 11:30 on the Chair Shot. But if you want to talk to me or say anything to me, facebook.com/aroundthering, okay? twitter.com/aroundthering, okay? Like I said, we're always there. We're always there. We answer as quickly as possible. I do sleep during the day. So if you ask a question like at 1 o'clock, I'll get to you about 5 or 6 if Ryan doesn't get to you before me. But, we take any questions. We enjoy the show. I enjoy a fan interaction. That's my favorite thing.
Absolutely. Same goes for here, my man. Fan interaction is the coolest. Because that's all we are too, bro. We're just wrestling fans that want to talk to other wrestling fans.
Absolutely.
That's exactly what this show is all about, man. That's exactly what wrestling podcasting's about. It's just wrestling fans from all over the world trying to meet other wrestling fans. So don't be afraid to hit us all up on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram. Hit us up, dude, just to chat. But Floyd, my man, like I say every day, I learn something new every single time we talk, so I appreciate it very much. We will be back tomorrow to talk about Impact Wrestling for the first time together, man. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to tonight.
Yeah, we're gonna get to the root of how Impact/TNA has brought you back into the fold, how long you've been gone, what brought you back. If you'll stay, we're going to get to talk about all that tomorrow, man. So, be on the lookout for that. We're going to talk about, NXT as well. We're going to be talking about all kinds of stuff tomorrow. So, y'all don't forget to check us out on Friday, tomorrow, which will be September 21st, 2018. But for now, Floyd and I have to say goodbye. So for Floyd and myself, for everyone out there, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs, mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?